to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Happy Monday morning to you, 34 minutes after the hour. Join us on the program now. I've been on once before, but join us by phone this time. Always a pleasure to introduce State Auditor Jim Ziegler. Jim, how are you this morning?
Well, fine, and happy Monday morning to all.
Yeah, thanks for that. So I wanted to get into, I wanted to ask you, and I know you've been paying attention to this, watching this up. Governor Ivey has a prison proposal that she's advancing. We don't know the exact details just yet, but we know some of the details. We know locations, and we think we have an idea of the price tag. Well, as soon as those locations were revealed, at least on some level, people push back. They felt like this was kind of broadsided by it. That's in Bibb County and Elmore County. But you were really involved in the pushback against the toll bridge. Do you see any parallels here?
Well, yes. It's a matter of the government, the state government, pushing forward on something without involving the local citizens. That's exactly what happened in the I-10 toll plan, and it was part of the reason we were able to organize 50,000 people and put together a plan and defeat the toll plan. So, yes, there are some similarities. The two citizen groups, one in Bibb County and the other in Elmore County, have been in touch with me, telling me, okay, we want to organize locally, and we want to keep this prison out of our neighborhoods. What do we do? And so I immediately said, I will send you three copies of my book that tells what we did, how we organized in a very short period of time, mostly in Mobile and Baldwin County. So there were other people helping us. And so they have the book, and I can tell they're reading it because of the questions that are coming back. And it's not exactly the same. No two situations are. But the principles of how to organize citizens to stand up for themselves and to block government overreach are the same.
Well, the way this has played out, it's not clear to me that you know, that maybe this doesn't impact as many people directly, but it does feel reminiscent to the governor's stab at the I-10 toll bridge, that this just all of a sudden here we are, and this is the way it's going to be, and we can't really tell you anything because we're negotiating this. This doesn't seem very democratic.
Well, it's not. They did not notify the local people in these three areas, and they did not involve them at all in the planning. Now, you're right that this doesn't affect as many people, maybe several thousand in Bibb County and several thousand in Elmore County. That's still a lot of people, but that's not 50,000 people like we had who joined our opposition group against the toll bridge in a very short period of time. For that reason, I'm focusing on the plan itself. Was it done legally? Are there things in the plan that might violate the Constitution or the laws of the state or mandatory procedures or even environmental concerns? And I don't know the answer to that yet. We don't know the full plan, as you mentioned. Even the Speaker of the House says he doesn't know the full plan and is adopting a wait-and-see attitude. I understand that because the Ivey administration has not been very transparent, not at all, not forthcoming. They are pushing this plan on their own schedule, according to their own agenda, as if they know best. Montgomery knows best. And unfortunately, a lot of times, Montgomery does not know best.
It's fascinating, though, that there was no lesson learned from that. And here's the point I would like to make. Look, if the toll bridge doesn't happen, if I-10 doesn't have a bridge, well, they'll live to fight another day. Either they will or in another administration will tackle the problem. With this prison situation, you had the Department of Justice really looking hard at the state, the way it's handling it. And if it falls apart for whatever reason, if it falls apart because of a grassroots backlash or something in the legislature or whatever it might be, you really do make the Alabama Department of Corrections vulnerable to a receivership. This seems like a very risky way to approach this problem to me.
The Department of Corrections and thereby the state prison system are at risk already to the court cases that are pending, which they are defendants. One of the concerns that I have about the Ivy prison lease plan is it does not address the problems that have been identified in the state prison system. It does not. For instance, overcrowding. What the Ivy plan does is it spends $2.6 billion over a 30-year period of time, and it brings the state prison capacity from about 23,000 inmates, more or less, down to about 16,000. They're going in the wrong direction. These three mega prisons are going to hold 10,000 prisoners. Then they're going to close all but two of the old prisons to save money on maintenance and staffing. And so there is less capacity, not more. I'm sure that will really impress the federal judge in Montgomery if somebody files and says, hey, this prison plan, will enrich three sets of contractors to build the prison, but that's all. It will not help the capacity of the prison system. It's a ridiculous idea.
Well, and then I'm not asking you to speculate, although you did about enriching the perhaps these contractors, but it is. Is the pressure on? I don't know. Is there such a rush to do it this way? Why not take an extra month or two and wait till the legislature's back in session to decide? The appearance to me is they want to get this deal signed before they gavel in the 2021 regular session.
I agree, and that session starts in early February. So we're getting close to the start of the next regular session of the legislature. The legislature is able to pass bond issues at a historically low cost, historically low interest rate, and the state could build these prisons themselves and own the prisons instead of having these private partners come in and build them and just save literally tens of millions of dollars over that 30-year period. But no, that's not their idea. Their idea is to contract out these three prisons and let somebody else build them. They don't have access to the state bonds and the low cost of the state bonds. And then the state simply leased them. Now, there's another problem. State can only lease something for 1 year. This 30-year lease, it does not appear to be legal to me, which means they must be thinking about renegotiating once a year over a 30-year period. Extremely risky, bad business practice.
Yeah, and the way that goes, it puts the state in the position of, well, if they decide that this contractor decides they're going to go up on the price, on the lease, or whatever the agreement is, then what does the state do with its inmates? And they kind of have a gun to the head of the state. It makes the state very vulnerable to a risky situation, right?
Absolutely. The state of Alabama at the end of the year has to have some place to put those 10,000 prisoners that are in these mega prisons. They're in a terrible bargaining position to say, no, we won't agree to this raise. What happens if it's not agreed to?
Well, we had a pollster coming on tomorrow, and we'll find out some specifics, but it doesn't appear this is a very popular proposal. And we don't know if it's unpopular because just traditionally Republicans and conservatives are not really, that's not really their issue, prisons. Or is it, you know, that the way this is being done perhaps has turned away support for this?
I don't know either, and it'll be interesting to read that poll. I will say this. At this point, the general public doesn't have much information about the Ivy Prison Plan. If you're Speaker of the House and your state auditor don't know much about what the plan is, you can imagine your average voter taking this poll. So once we find out the information about the plan's specifics and get them out there, this poll's going to need to be done again.
Yeah, well, the specifics remain to be seen. We're joined by State Auditor Jim Ziegler here on the program. Jim, something else is coming up. I don't know if you have a position or any thoughts on this, but I want to run it by you. This Amendment 2 on the Baldwin Beach Express, the extension there for Buc-ee's all the way up to 65. Do you have any thoughts on that amendment on the ballot on November 3rd?
I am studying it, and every time I get into it, good, something distracts me, some other issue pulls me off. And several of our members of the Block the I-10 toll group have taken an interest, naturally, but these are Baldwin County citizens. It will only be voted on in Baldwin County on the November 3rd ballot, nowhere else. Since I live in Mobile County, as you know, I won't be allowed to vote. So that kind of colors my decision later about whether or not to get actively involved in it. What our 50,000 member Facebook page is doing now is putting up the information of what is the plan, what are the similarities or differences between this plan and the 2019 I-10 Bayway toll plan, and try to give the voters the information to each make a decision themselves. I will say this, there is a major difference. This time, the voters get to vote. The voters of Baldwin County get to decide whether or not to have that toll road from Buc-ee's on I-10 to more or less Stockton on I-65, and with the I-10 bridge, there was going to be no vote. It was simply going to be rammed down their throats by Montgomery forces. And there's another difference. This plan was cooked up by Baldwin County leaders and the Baldwin County Commission, not by Aldott or Governor Ivey. So that's a horse of a different color.
Yeah, it is, certainly there's more Democratic, small d Democratic buy-in here that you could oppose it or you could, whatever you want to think of it, that it is, at least it's, the public will have some say in it.
Yes, the public will have the final say in it, and that's as it should be. And so as the thing gets closer, we'll probably have one report from a very active member, David Peterson, who was a leader in beating the tax in 2015 and the rain tax several years before that. And David has decided he is for this toll bridge, that it's optional. You can go the same way you go now if you don't want to pay the toll. So David's putting together some information. And some of our other members who are philosophically against a toll, they don't like any toll, they're going to put together that information. And we'll put that all up on our Facebook page. So the Bowen County voters that want the information, it will be available on the Block the Tolls page.
And finally, Jim, right around the corner, November election, how do you feel about it?
I am concerned. The Democrat leaders nationally have thrown everything but the kitchen sink at President Trump. And when you throw that many issues at somebody, there'll be a certain amount of it that sticks with your average voter in Florida or Ohio or Pennsylvania and other battleground states. I think President Trump can win. He can turn out the silent majority of the Trump voters before. You know, the polls in 2016 showed that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And they were off. They did not pick up that quiet vote for Donald Trump. And I'm hoping that's what happens again.
Jim,
now, here in Alabama, President Trump is in good shape in Alabama, and I believe that folks in Tuberville is in good shape in the U.S. Senate race.
We got to leave it there. We're out of time, but thank you so much for making time for us this morning.
Thank you, Jeff, and good luck tomorrow with the new poll. That's interesting.
Yeah, well.